In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Today we are concluding the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. And in this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, he's accomplishing the separation of himself and his teaching from the religion of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, you know, John the Baptist may have been the one that actually introduced Jesus to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, because, you know, at his baptism, John the Baptist, he was up there preaching and said, "Oh, you brood of vipers, what have you come out to see?" Those were the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, among some other very curious individuals outside of the disciples that were there. So Jesus spends a great deal of time teaching and preaching against the practice of the religion of the Pharisees. So he's now carrying his listeners, his disciples, beyond the letter of the law to the true intent of a spirit-filled discipline which cannot be attained by one's own efforts. And in Psalm 22, it's in the last few verses of the psalm, it says, "And no man hath quickened his own soul." We can't do that ourselves. There's nothing that we can do. We have to turn to our Lord and Savior. So Jesus is challenging his listeners, his disciples, to live as true disciples. Well, in the crux of the sermon, and it's just a couple of verses that are prior to our gospel lesson, Jesus gives to his disciples, as well as to us, a choice. A life-changing choice. So in Matthew, it's actually verses 13 and 14, just right before our gospel lesson, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it." They don't want to work. They don't want to accept Christ as their Savior. So they go through this wide gate, which includes all of the temptations that can be imagined. Well, these are the only two alternatives that Jesus has given. You go through the narrow gate, you follow me, or go through this broad gate and you're all on your own because Satan's going to be in charge of your life at that point. So we either live within God's divine will, where we recognize our own sinfulness and accept the victory that His only begotten Son has won for all mankind, for all time, or, and this is a huge or, we accept the so-called rite of passage religion, of human achievement, where we believe that we're good enough. We've earned this right, that we deserve God's mercy and grace. We don't deserve a drop of it. But He rains it down us. Sometimes I tell people it's like standing under Niagara Falls with two solo cups in your hand and trying to catch all that mercy and grace. And it's just raining down, just beating us down to the ground. He loves us that much. Well, the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, it teaches obedience. The obedience to live one's life in accordance to God's will. That was the text that I chose on the from the gospel lesson. Turn back to the page. "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." In other words, we adhere to his teachings to live a Christian, moral, and ethical life devoted to Christ. Jesus states this obedience. Beware. The very first word of our gospel lesson. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. And that is a wonderful picture on the front of the bulletin, because that really shows the truth. You know, our mind, we try to capture what's being said in the gospel lesson or the epistle or some other scripture that we read, but that really captures what Jesus is teaching here. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. And with this deceiver, the deception that we're talking about, is the false prophets, they kind of say, you know, there are three of them. That there are, of course, the deceivers, which we have, they're heretics, and there are those that are apostate. Well, the deceivers come right on in. They've read the Bible, they know the scripture, but it's not in their hearts. And they will twist it and turn it and make you feel like you're doing the right thing, but you're not, and they're misleading you. It's kind of, you've probably heard that the ordained clergy, we're kind of like, that we're a conduit. We're a conduit from God to His people that we serve. Now, the water that goes in that conduit has to be the same that comes out. So remember the temptations of Christ in the wilderness, where Satan was kind of taking that scripture and he was twisting it a little bit to his own use to get Jesus to do a miracle or something out of pride and not for the benefit of his Father. So you twist and turn a little bit. You put something in that water and it comes out. Well, I may twist something and you don't catch it, and you say, oh, okay, yeah, that sounds good. I think that's what I'm going to do. But God knows. And it also passes into the congregation as well, because when you witness to people, when you tell them about Christ, when you tell them about what He's done for you and what He can do for them, you have to be on guard as well. So this false prophets and false prophecy, it really does sift down. So we've got to be careful just to shut the lid on it. We know St. Jude, in the general epistle of St. Jude, he combats false prophets and prophecy with a very simple yet powerful verse, where he states that we are to worship and that we are to be obedient to the faith which was once delivered to the saints. This verse was quoted by several of the early church fathers to encourage believers to continue to hold fast to the faith and the belief in their Savior when faced with heresy of false prophets or teachers. The faith which St. Jude refers is synonymous with the apostolic preaching. Jesus gave His message. He taught His Heavenly Father's truth. The apostles, in turn, took those teachings and they carried them on, didn't change a thing about it, but they carried this on. And this is described through the use of the word delivered, once delivered to the saints. Well, when delivered is translated from the original Greek, paradido, this is a technical term, it's basically a verb for the preaching or the teaching of God's word. And this is reinforced by the word once. Once refers to the apostles preaching the truths of the Word of God, which has been passed down through the ages by this apostolic ministry as the final and the authoritative teaching, which cannot be changed. Now Jesus takes this obedience just a step further. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Even an outward verbal acknowledgement of His Lordship, and these false prophets really know how to do that and how to be charismatic to get you to following in their false doctrines, it's just not enough to ensure eternal life, because it's an empty statement, because it's coming from a non-believer. Now this verse, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, this is known as Jesus' law. To do the will of our Father means to continually live in obedience to the will of God. For when we fail from time to time due to our sinful nature, Christ is there for us, ready to forgive, ready to restore us through a penitent and contrite heart. So how do we hold to the will of our Heavenly Father? It's plain and simple. We live a Christian life. Just as our Lord's Sermon on the Mount begins with a beatitude, we find that the Psalter, the book of Psalms, begins with a similar beatitude. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Those who are the blessed of the Lord are those who do not associate with evil. Now, we witness to people, we'll minister to someone to bring them to Christ, but we don't socialize with them. We spread the word of God, the good news, but we don't socialize. The man who is blessed of the Lord lives a life of obedience to God in faith and belief. And think about the summary of the law. I will love the Lord thy God with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, and with all of our minds, and our neighbor likewise. Because if we can't show that love and respect and care for someone that we can see in the physical and help them, how are we going to worship someone that we haven't seen? This is the example that He has set before us, to love the Lord our God. Well, the truth in doing the will of my Father which is in heaven, it's revealed in two questions that are set forth in Psalm 15, and actually it's the first verse. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? In the words of the psalmist, those who shall abide in thy tabernacle and those who shall dwell in thy holy hill are the faithful who have been baptized into the death and resurrection of our Lord. Through our baptism, we are just grafted into the body of Christ, the church, where the truths of the Father's kingdom being taught in this world are fulfilled through the life of every Christian. Abiding means living in one settled place, living in His presence. And he that doeth these things shall never be moved. This teaches us that holding fast to our Savior's teachings and not being distracted or drawn away through temptation, being this false prophets and false prophecy, will ensure that the true servants of the Lord will abide and will dwell in His presence. So being obedient and faithful to God is described as doing the will of God. The clear focus on spiritual closeness to God is living within the righteousness of God. Our reward of a religious, righteous life, of obedient faith and belief in our Lord and Savior, even through our trials and temptations, is that we will never be moved from our spiritual closeness to Him in this life or in the next life. What He gives us right now, right here and now, is a very small, precious glimpse of the kingdom of heaven, where we will dwell in the presence of God for all eternity. Amen.